Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection.
John's Gospel, chapter 9, beginning with verse 1. Would you please stand while we open in God's Word, please? The Bible says, "Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God shall be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me, while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Therefore the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, Is not this he who sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. And he said, I am he. Therefore they said to him, How were your eyes opened? He answered and said, A man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and I received sight. When they said to him, Where is he? He said, I do not know. May God add blessings to the reading of his word this morning. Not many miles up the highway sits the Linville Cavern. I'm certain many, if not all of you, have walked through the cavern at least once. I remember taking their tour, and at one point we stopped while the guide gave us some information about the rock formations. And then, without warning, the lights were turned out. It became so dark a person couldn't literally see their hand in front of their face because they actually asked us to hold our hand up. And you couldn't see it. There was no light. There was nothing in there that would give any type of a reflection. Your eyes couldn't adjust. There was nothing to adjust to. It was total darkness. But then our guide turned on a flashlight. And that small flashlight appeared as nothing more than a hole in an unimaginable darkness that surrounded us. Well, likewise, I ran across a much older story about a little boy from Edinburgh, Scotland. Now, this took place back some years ago, before electricity. He was amazed at the work of the old lamplighter. He was the gentleman who would go through the community at night, and he would have a torch and a ladder, and he would light the street lights. And this little boy was fascinated, and he would watch him with a childish fascination. And then one evening, the parents heard the little boy shout, Look, look! There is a man out there, and he is punching holes in the darkness. What does the story of the Linville Caverns and the lamplighter have in common? Both of them illustrate the life of Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus came into this world, and he accomplished many wonders and many miracles. He healed many people. He raised the dead. He gave hearing to the deaf. And as we just read, he opened blinded eyes. But his purpose was to punch great gaping holes in the spiritual darkness that shrouds our world. That spiritual darkness has shrouded our world since Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden, since sin became part of all of our lives. But Jesus, Jesus came to bring light into that darkness. Through the miracle that we've seen and the picture that we have shown, we see that Jesus is not a light, but Jesus is the light, the only light there is that shines in this dark, dreary world that we live in. And make no mistake, we can find periods of happiness. We have our families, we have our loved ones, we have our friends, we have our churches. We have periods and things of happiness and times of joy that God brings through Jesus Christ. But that is the only hope that we have in this world. If we look around us today, we see nothing but despair and nothing but misery. We see from our text that Jesus is light in a world of darkness. And through God's Word, you may find yourself in some darkness this morning. You may see yourself either in the darkness of being totally lost, or you may see yourself in the darkness of having some separation with a holy and righteous God. And with that, as the message comes to an end, you have an opportunity to take advantage of the calling of this great light. Well, this morning, I want you to take an opportunity and explore God's Word with me as we look at the light in a world of darkness. Notice with me first the misery of this sightless man. The misery that we can relate to is his blindness. This man, according to Scripture, was born blind. Now, to many, to most of us, that's a horrible physical handicap. And when we think about it, it's true. We take for granted the sunrise and the sunset. We take for granted the laugh and the smile of a child. We take for granted the faces of our loved ones, of our mother and our father and of our wives, of our children. We take for granted the trees and the sky and everything that we get an opportunity to see every day. We take it for granted. This man had never seen it. He had never seen an ocean wave come crashing in. He had never seen the trees move as the wind would blow. He had never seen any of that. All he could do was imagine it. We think, my goodness, what a tragedy. What a tragedy it is to live in this state of darkness. But let me say this morning. There is a much more horrible state that a person could be in, and it is the darkness of spiritual blindness this morning. It is the darkness of being lost and undone without Jesus Christ. It is the spiritual darkness of not knowing the Lord as our personal Savior. We could be in much worse of a position. And some today find themselves in that position. There are many today that are walking around with a postmodern view of the world that we live in. And it is all about them, and it's all about society, and it is all about the different things that are going on. They have no realization and no concept of eternity. They have no concept of the authority of God in their lives. They have no concept of absolute authority at all. They are lost. They are spiritually blind, and they are just as pitiful, or more so, I may say, than this man that we read about who had no physical sight. Not only was his misery his blindness, but it was existing from his birth. And not only was this man blind from birth, but we also get the implication of his poverty. You see, being blind at birth in today's society is horrible. But yet, in today's society, there are things in place that provide for medical care, that provide for food, that provide for shelter and clothing. There is a social umbrella that takes care of those who have these kind of special needs in their lives. In Jesus' day, that wasn't there. The Roman government could care less about the citizens of special needs. This man couldn't work because he couldn't see. This man couldn't buy food because he couldn't work. Now, unless his family took him in and cared for him, which they did not, because the Bible clearly tells us he was a beggar, that was the only hope he had for eating. We're not worried about it. He's not worried about where he's going to sleep. He'll just find a spot and sleep. But if he's going to eat, it's going to happen only because he is begging for food, begging for money, begging for anything he can get to have a scrap, a morsel of a meal. Now, do you think that's sad? Does that touch your heart this morning? And you think about, my goodness, what a blessing it is to live in the country that we have and have the blessings that we have of the social umbrellas that take care of us and help us. And that's true, it is. But there is a far much worse poverty that is taking place in the world and in America today. And it is a poverty of lacking Jesus. And not only does that exist in those that are lost, but it exists often in those who are saved and part of the church this morning. Because you see, what's happening is our churches are becoming stale and stagnant. There's no zeal and no love for God. There's no embracing Jesus this morning by the Christians. The church is just taking a lackluster approach to the authority of God's Word. We are embracing a spiritual blindness among the church. And in doing so, we are empowering the spiritual blindness that the lost have. We talk about wanting to see people saved. But yet we don't consider the spiritual strength that we have. We don't love God enough to even come to church anymore. Yet we want to see people saved. Where is the testimony to those that are lost? There is a misery that exists in the lost this morning, and there is a misery that exists in the saved this morning, and they all result in sightlessness. They all result in a blindness that is spiritually related. And it is pictured in the text that we read. May God help us. May God help us today. Because in the condition that this man found himself in, as I said, he was resulted to begging. He had nothing left to do. That was the only opportunity he had. It was a pitiful state. This was no rich man. It would even appear that his parents, as I said, were not interested in his well-being. It was all about taking care of me. That society was very self-centered. Yet when we look at society today, what do we see? Do we see much better? In spots and places, yes, there is some improvement. See, we can thank God today that we have Jesus Christ if we're saved. Because every sinner finds themselves in the position of this beggar. Everyone. Those that are lost this morning find themselves in the position of this beggar as they are searching for and hoping for any kind of a spiritual handout they can find. They are looking for something, anything that will give them some kind of hope. They will cling to the false religions of the Jehovah's Witnesses or the Mormons. They will cling to the movements and the cult movements of the Wiccans. They will cling to all of these other movements and all of these other things that are out there, looking for and grasping for some spiritual hope. And they can't find it. And blindly they grasp for the next thing and the next thing. and the next thing. And just like a blind man grasping for a voice that's out there and just can't find it because he can't see the person, he's grasping and grasping. Spiritually, that's happening in many people's lives this morning. And sadly enough, it's even happening in the lives of some Christians today because they've separated themselves from God. They're moving around and groping around in a spiritual blindness of their own making. How sad is that today? How sad is that? So far, the message and the passage hasn't been very encouraging, has it? That's getting ready to change. Because there is a ministry of the Sovereign Master. You see, something happened to this beggar, to this blind beggar. He was sitting at the temple. He was begging and hoping for a handout. And Jesus came by. Jesus came by. When he came by, Jesus looked upon this man and Jesus called him. Jesus reached down on the ground and he picked up some dust. And he picked it up and he spit on that dust. And he rolled it around and he made a ball of clay. When he had it just right, he stood up and he rubbed it into the eyes of this blind man. And he told this blind man, "Go to the pool of Siloam." You know, in our text it said, which is translated as sent. Jesus sent him and told him to wash. Well, I want you to think about that. What happens when we get something in our eyes? Even if it's just minor pieces of dust, it irritates them, doesn't it? And it makes them water, trying to flush it out and wash it out. And sometimes if it's bad enough, we actually have to go to the bathroom or to the kitchen or somewhere and get water and wash our eyes out, don't we? But to get rid of the irritation. Imagine what this blind man's eyes felt like. Imagine the irritation of having the clay rubbed into his eyes. That's a lesson in a picture this morning of conviction from God. When Jesus comes by, and when Jesus calls us out and calls our name, there is an irritation that takes place in our soul. An irritation of conviction. An irritation that we really wish we didn't have to deal with. But an irritation that we just can't get rid of. An irritation that only God can wash away with the blood of Jesus Christ. It is an irritation that is a welcome irritation when it is all said and done. Just like the irritation would have been with this blind man. He needed to get to that pool. He needed to wash that clay out. And he needed to get his eyes clean. And when he got his eyes clean, he had vision and he had sight and something that he had never had before. He was able to see everything before that he was only able to hear about. Bless God, how beautiful it is for someone when they come to know Jesus this morning and they take the irritation of that conviction and they come and they bring it to an altar and they fall upon their face and they call Jesus to come and to save their soul and that irritation is washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. What a blessing it is in their life to see them get back up and to see them look at life new and fresh and see the things that before they only could hear. Remember when you were lost and how you heard the gospel, but you never really understood it. It never really meant anything to you until you came to Jesus. And after you came to Jesus, when you got up from that altar, when you got up with that new life, when you got up with that new sight and that new vision, you were not only able to hear the gospel of Jesus, but you were able to see it as it's written in God's Word. You were able to celebrate it. You were able to worship God because of who He is through Jesus Christ. That was the picture that we have of this blind man. We were all spiritually blind at one time in life. I remember the day when I was spiritually blind, and when I got my sight, I got my spiritual sight. And praise God, I'm glad Jesus came by that day. If we go, you say, well, wait a minute. What do you mean when Jesus came by? Go to John chapter 6, verse 44. It says plainly, we must be drawn by the Father. If you're saved today, you're saved because Jesus came by. You're saved because you were called to repentance. You're not saved because you chose God. You're saved because God chose you. That's Bible. John chapter 6, verse 44. There's others that support it as well. Folks, Jesus comes by. He came by then for this blind man. He's still coming by today. He's still coming by and visiting with people. He's still coming by calling people to be saved. And notice, when he did, they said to him, how were your eyes opened? And he said, a man called Jesus. It is the testimony of the blood-bought child of God. If you're saved this morning, you have that testimony. How did you get that outlook on life? How did you come to be able to accept some difficulties and hardships in life? How did you come to accept some of the heartaches? How about some of those little things in life that we just can't explain? If you notice, when the man said he took clay and anointed it, in verse 11, he rubbed it in his eyes. The man never said anything about the spit. The reason the man didn't say, because the man didn't know what Jesus used to make the clay. All he knew was that the clay was applied to his eyes. So what's the big deal about that, preacher? How many little things in your life has God been behind that you really don't have any idea about? You are the recipient of them. The recipient of some things that you didn't see. The recipient of some things you don't know about. The recipient of some things that you won't know about until God opens it up to you and lets you see it. See, this man didn't know what Jesus used to make the clay. He just knew that Jesus had clay. There's a lot of things about Jesus and salvation and serving God that we don't understand today. And there's a lot of those things that we won't understand this side of eternity. But the testimony of a child of God today is not how Jesus did it, but the fact that Jesus did do it, and that because He can do it to me, He can do it to others, because He is still calling people to come to Him. It is our testimony. The testimony of our life, the testimony of our words that reaches into the hearts and the lives of these others. And it says, Jesus called me and I came to Him. You too can have this. You too can. So as our musicians come and prepare a hymn of invitation, I want to close this morning. So this morning you sit under God's Word. And you find yourself either saved by grace through faith in Jesus and Jesus alone, living a life that desires and strives to be obedient to Him, or you find yourself lost in darkness, in a darkness that there is only one person that can penetrate, and that's Jesus. You may have wealth or privilege or prosperity or popularity. There may be many things in life that may impress other people that you have. However, the one thing you're missing is a proper relationship with God. And that proper relationship can only come through Jesus. Pride keeps us separated from God. The pride of life, the pride of self, the pride of arrogance. Well, this blind man didn't have room for pride. Yet he knew that no one could meet his needs like Jesus when Jesus called him. Jesus called this humble beggar. And I believe that Jesus is calling people this morning. I believe that he's calling Christians that have walked away back into darkness. I believe he's calling the lost who need to see and take hold of that light. I believe he is calling his church to come closer, to be closer to him. There is nothing like the light in Jesus in this dark world that we live in. And it's time this morning that we examine ourselves and ask the question, is he calling me? Is he calling me? As we sing this morning, if God's dealing with your heart, will you come? Ladies,